Praise the Lord. How many of y'all like to hear good testimonies? Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise. I love to listen to good testimonies. Miss Carrie? She has a good one. Praise the Lord. Tell us what happened.
Praise the Lord. Well, I just want to praise God for all of His goodness and for this church and for what He's done. My husband's cousin, Rhonda, some of the family members called my husband and told him that she only had like a week to live, that she was in hospice, and she just wasn't doing good. She had cancer. So we had been by to visit her a couple of times when we'd gone to Florida, and I just felt really impressed. I told my husband, I said, we really need to go and pray with Rhonda. So we bought a ticket and went to Tampa. We got there, and she was laying there in the bed. She looked really sick, and I thought, oh, Lord, I don't know how to pray. Well, the Lord spoke to me. I mean, it was just profound. He spoke to me, and He said, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. She is not dead yet. Well, that just encouraged me. That encouraged me to really pray hard. And so I began to pray hard and strong and curse the spirit of death and speak the spirit of life and just continue to pray. And I said, Lord, I just couldn't wait to get back here and talk to Pastor Thurman and Cheryl about it. And so I said, I'm just believing Pastor Thurman, God's going to raise her up because He spoke to me, and I just want y'all to agree. So they agreed with me last week, and we called her mom yesterday, and her mom said she had gone home from hospice. Don't too many people leave hospice.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Wow. Oh, yeah, Cheryl. She's got one she wants to read.
All right, we got this week, July the 11th, Dear Pastor Thurman Scribner. Several years ago, a friend gave me a couple of CDs to play while driving my truck. One was about your testimony when you were working in Houston under a steel structure, when God spoke about getting out from under the structure just before it collapsed, and the deadly accident involving your wife and daughter, of God healing your granddaughter. The other CD was about you being in West Texas and being introduced by a spokesman relating the same story. So anyway, he said he loved the CDs, and he had not gotten them back because they were passed on to others, and so he wanted more. And we sent them to him anyway, and he couldn't remember the names of them, but praise God we knew what it was. Also, he said, Martha and I, along with my son Keith, let's see what his name is. His name is Milton, okay? So Martha, his wife, and along with their son Keith, attended one of your healing classes on January the 9th, 2016. I told you and your wife about Keith, our son, falling out of my truck while throwing his paper route 40 years ago, his being at Methodist Hospital in Dallas, where his brain fluid had a flat line indicating no brain activity at all. A youth pastor from Tulsa, Oklahoma, Reverend Jack Gray, came by our house in Dallas on a Sunday night about 1 a.m. We drove to Methodist Hospital to intensive care unit where Reverend Gray prayed, laid hands on over Keith. And on Monday morning, about 6:30 a.m., I stopped by the hospital, and Keith's mother said there was no change in the flat line of the brain, but the bleeding from his nose and ears had stopped. Then about 7 a.m., I noticed Keith's eyes fluttered. Then he opened and he said, I'm hungry. I yelled down the hall, and doctors and nurses came immediately. They were amazed at what happened, not knowing about God's touch when Pastor Gray prayed for a miracle. Then in 2015, I was having back pain. I went to see Dr. Stephen Esses, a spine surgeon in Houston, who had 20 years prior done a fusion of two of my lower vertebrae. After tests, x-rays, and an MRI, he told me in January 2016 he thought my prostate cancer, which I'd had 10 years before, had returned, not to my prostate, but to the same two vertebrae in my spine that he had fused. I went to other doctors and further testing. All were indicating cancer. Then on January the 9th, 2016, at your healing class, Martha, Keith, and I confessed our sins and asked forgiveness. You and Miss Cheryl prayed the prayer of healing with faith. The cancer is gone, being healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Miss Cheryl was about to anoint me with oil, but you said it wasn't necessary, that I was already healed. No further action necessary. Martha said with a slight smile that she thought she too was healed of a debilitating dog phobia that she had carried for 71 years. She would walk blocks around to get away from a dog. Ever since that day, she has been around dogs without her dreaded fear. Praise the Lord for a double set of miracles on January the 9th, 2016, right. A day that will not be forgotten in the Zander family. I called my extremely devout sister, Gloria Lee, and her husband, Ronnie Lee, who live in Orange, Texas, and told them of the miracles of being healed of cancer and fear. I also mentioned upcoming appointments with a neurosurgeon and an oncologist, and while my sister knew 100% it was true, she also believed in confirmation so the doctors could see the Lord's miracles. After the appointment and other tests, including a body scan, the neurologist said he saw nothing to indicate cancer. The oncologist a week later said he saw no need to even do a biopsy. Both doctors joined us praising the Lord. In the end, they all agreed that my back pain was caused by a large accumulation of birthdays, 80 of them. You, Miss Cheryl, and the other two speakers on that Saturday, which was Dave and Jeff, prove that Jesus Christ, God our Father, and the Holy Spirit are alive, real, and hard at work performing miracles. Thank you, Pastor. All the folks down here in Belleville and Industry, Texas, especially Dennis Keene, our pastor at West End Baptist Church, know about Milton and Martha's miraculous healings at your class in Argyle, Texas. We are truly blessed and highly favored. If Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, can heal an old sinner like me, then he can heal anyone if they believe. Thanks so much. Your CDs being passed around by friends and family have proven that your testimonies mean business and they work. Sincerely, Milton, Martha, and Keith Sander.
Amen.
Belleville, Texas. Oh. P.S. It's taken 6 months for the miracles to become routine now, so that's why the delay in writing this letter.
Oh, goodness. When Carrie told us that she looked down at the person that was in hospice, let me share something with you. You know, when she looked down, the Lord knew exactly where her faith was. And so that's why he told her, you know, don't worry, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, and he had only been dead 4 days. This one's not dead. But let me share with you something that will greatly enhance your ability to get people raised up at all times, get your prayers answered. Remember, it's not you that's doing it. As long as you remember, it's me. I'm the one that's praying the prayer of faith. I'm the one that's doing the healing. You won't never see God do a miracle. Never, ever, ever, ever. But when you realize it's Christ in me, the hope of glory, when you realize it's Christ in you, then when you speak his words, realizing that it wasn't you that healed that person. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, I don't know, it's amazing I can remember several times I'd go somewhere to pray for somebody and, oh, goodness gracious alive, you know how people look when they've been laying there for a month? You know, and they've had cancer, you know, and they're just, oh, they look awful. You've seen that, haven't you? And, you know, you go in and say, and I came up here to pray for this person. I used to do that. I'd come up here and say, you know, my gosh, I'm not a doctor. What am I doing here? And I'd think, I'm not here in my own power. I'm here in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that right? Yes. And when I realize I come in his name, then no big deal. I mean, after all, you know, I mean, I had a person the other day that they called me as an elderly lady. And she said, I've been listening to your CDs and you have more faith than anybody I've ever heard talk in my life. So I have one for you. I want you to pray for her. My husband's name is so-and-so, and what was it?
Alfonso.
Alfonso said, that's my husband, and I want you to pray for him to be raised from the dead. So I thought, okay, before I pray for this guy, I'm going to find out how long he's been dead. I mean, you know, you're talking about getting in the flesh. You know, you're in the flesh. So we contacted this lady, and she said, oh, he died 20 years ago. Not so when it was, but anyway, I thought to myself, okay, I don't have that kind of faith, so there ain't no use in me praying. And then I thought, now wait a minute. Lord, when you come to Ezekiel, you ask Ezekiel, Ezekiel, do you think that valley of dry bones can live? He said, Lord, only you know. He said, well, speak to those bones. So Ezekiel said, okay, bone come to bone. In other words, the arm bone to the hip bone to the shoulder bone to the whatever. Bone come to bone. And when he said that, those bones began to rattle all over that valley. Bone came to bone. Not just anybody's bone, but the person that had died. Those bones came back together. And all of a sudden, here stands an army of bones. And then he says, now, Ezekiel, do you think flesh can come on these bones? He said, Lord, only you know. Only you know. He said, well, speak to them. You notice here, God has to have help on this earth. He gave this earth to us. So Ezekiel spoke to the bones, spoke to the body, and commanded flesh to come on them. And the flesh came on them. Now then, who knows how many eons of years these bones had been dead? See, we fail to realize who we are. I mean, I guarantee we fail to realize who we are. Because when we realize who we are, then we realize, hey, it's not me doing this. It's my Jesus doing this. And so anyway, when Ezekiel prayed that the flesh would come back on, it did. And then he says, do you believe breath can come in these? And now then he says, Lord, only you know. He said, well, speak to it. Speak to those bones, those statue of men that are standing there. And he did, and they became a living, breathing army of men. Wow. Now then, if God, it was no problem. Just like when Cheryl and I was down in North Carolina this year. Whenever that man we were going to be on the set with the next day, we were having dinner with Sid Roth and his wife, and this man's name was Left Hetland. And he, as he was on there and talking about what God had been, I asked him a question. I said, Left, how has God been using you out there? He said that God had sent him to the Muslim world, to talk about the love of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So you have to be very careful how you talk to a Muslim, because they believe the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is their God. See? But he's not. So anyway, the Lord came to Left. He told me, we're sitting there having dinner with this guy now. And he says, the Lord came to me and said, as I stood up, there was Jesus Christ standing right in front of me. Now, I have never had the privilege to see the Master yet, but I've sure had the privilege to talk to him many times. And I've had him talk to me. It's wonderful when he talks to you, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, after all, Lazarus, you know, has been dead for 4 days. So Jesus raised him from the dead, so what's wrong with you, girl? That's what he tried to tell you, right, Gary? He's trying to tell you, you know, all you need is a little faith. And if you get a hold of the fact that Jesus lives in you, you can do this. And so, anyway, Lev said that the Lord came to him. He told him to hold his hands out like this. And so he said, I did. I put my hands up just like that. And he reached over and put his fingers in and said, now I'm going to anoint you with a special love for the Muslims. You're to go into the world and to tell the Muslims that I love them. But you're to tell them that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob loves them, and you're not to tell them my name because they don't know my name. So anyway, he goes out there and he meets with the president of Iraq, and the president of Iraq, when he talks to him about this, he gets a group of 120,000 Muslim males, and they have a meeting. And Les said, I'm there speaking in this gigantic place to 120,000 men. I'm telling them about the love of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's not a God that wants to go out and kill people. He's a God that wants to love people. And so said, I'm talking to them and telling them all these things. And all of a sudden, somebody down here toward the front on my right side jumped up and began to scream. My arm just grew back. You know, over there when you do something, you steal or whatever, what do they do to you? They cut off an arm or a leg. They usually cut off the arm first, and if that don't stop you, if you get caught twice, they cut your leg off. So anyway, I said, I'm not even talking about the miraculous God. I'm just talking about the love of this God. And all of a sudden, this man jumps up and said, my arm just grew back. And all of a sudden, then one back over here jumped up and began to scream, my leg just grew back. And he said, all of a sudden, things began to happen all over that auditorium. Thousands of people got healed. New arms and legs and everything. And he said, I never saw anything. I said, I'm just standing there watching it. It's happening. So he said, after many men and got their legs and arms grew back, I said, now the God that loves you just did this for you. This is how much he loves you. And he wants you to accept him as your Lord and Savior. And his name is Jesus Christ. And he said, out of the 120,000 men, 87,000 of them signed a petition to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Now, see, that's what we're all about. We're supposed to be doing that. So he said, that night when I got in the hotel, he said, I'd never seen anything like this in my life. Now, I can only imagine being the speaker and get to see God do something like this. Can't you, Franz? Only imagine.
Can't dream that big.
Yeah. Franz is that he can't even dream that big. But he's going to get to where he can.
Amen.
But anyway, he said, Lord, I never seen anything like this. He said, Lord, how do you do this? And the Lord spoke to him and says, Lev, I am the Creator God. When I speak, it happens. When I speak, it happens. Now, with Jack, if you and me have that Creator God living in us, and we can get to where we can speak it, realizing it's totally him, we're going to get to see the same kind of things happen. You know that?
Yeah.
We've seen him do some pretty wonderful things.
Yep.
He's done some pretty wonderful things. But the God that we serve is out of this world. But, it's amazing. I was sitting back there in the back earlier, and I was thinking, today we got to go over. It wasn't in my plan until I sat down. But I said, today we have to talk about Psalms 91. And then Dave come up and talked about Psalms 91. I thought, wow, okay, he done a good job there. Tomorrow, as all of us know, it is going to be the Republican
convention.
Yeah, in Cleveland, Ohio. Now, no telling what the world may try to do. I've heard wild stories today, of people that are saying they're going to get men together to go there and to kill every white person that's there. If they're saying that, they're going to do it. They're going to try it. But that means you and me have to take that scripture that Dave talked about and make sure we pray. And the only thing I'd change in that prayer is, Lord, we don't want to just pray just for the white police officers. We want to pray for every police officer, regardless of color, because they're all sons of God. But Lord, not only that, but we ask you to protect every person, red, yellow, black, and white, at that nobody will kill nobody. There will be no death tomorrow at that convention. In the name of Jesus. Now let me tell you, I was down at Daystar just here a while back, and there was a man that had been there a little while before. I wish I could remember his name. Y'all might remember the name of the guy, the Spanish, Mexican, missionary. What's his name? You remember? Anyway, I can't remember his name. But anyway, let me tell you something that this man did. This will give you, now here we're a church that's known for doing things outside the box. Is that right? When we pray for people, we believe. We have the audacity. Cheryl and I, we pray for people like that one. When we pray and we break the curse, if Jesus said we can, whosoever sins we forgive, they're forgiven.
Amen.
Now we're just, Cheryl and me and some of you in this room are just crazy enough to believe that means what it says.
Amen.
You know, and so you can stand for those people, right? And so, and just think, they flew all the way to Florida to pray for that person that was sick. And God honored that prayer. Yeah. But you know, you don't have to go down there to get it done. You know, it could be done from right here. I mean, Cheryl and I pray for people every day, and we always pray. We remit their sins. We find out what their, try to find out what their sin is if we can. But if we can't, then we just remit all of their sins. So once we remit all of their sins, and then pray the prayer of faith for them, we always end our prayer in the thing, now then, it is done, I guarantee it. It is done. Just like this young fellow right here, and this one right here too, I can tell a good story on both these guys. But I can remember when Jack came in here the first time years ago with his back trouble. And I told him, I said, you got a sin in your life. He said, what? He said, I said, do you go to church? Oh, yeah, I go to a big Baptist church. And he said, I'm there all the time. And I said, well, that don't make any difference. You got a sin in your life. I said, what do you do for a living? He said, well, I'm a businessman. I said, well, do you ever do anything that might not be 100% ethical? Maybe you kind of fudge a little over here or do something over here. Is business? Well, he said, Thurman, I guess maybe everybody's done that, don't you think? I said, we probably have, every one of us. But I said, that's sin. I said, that could be what's causing your back trouble. Oh, come on. I said, why don't you just repent and ask God to forgive you? I mean, it's minor, you know? I mean, a minor little tiny thing. You know, so how easy is it if somebody comes up and says, I want you to do this and this, but don't tell nobody? Okay, so you turn over here and talk to this person and say, I'll do this for you, but this guy wants me to do that. He told me not to tell nobody, but I'm going to tell you, but don't you tell nobody. Now, see, now that, but both of that's a sin, right? We don't realize how easy it is to sin. So anyway, I said, Jack, I want you to repent of all your sins. So he repented. He said, okay. He said, I never heard of nothing like this. And so anyway, I told him, well, when I used to go to Baptist church, I never heard of nothing like this over there either. But I said, it works over here. And so I said, we're not Baptist, we're non-denominational. So I said, I want you to repent of your sin. So Jack repented for his sin. Then I said, okay, now that you've repented for your sin, I want you to thank the Lord for healing. I'm just going to pray for you. Real, in fact, I'm not sure which one I use. But you know, there's so many scriptures in the Bible as to the way you can do things. One of them, he says, pray the prayer of faith for people. One of them is cast out the demon. One of them, he said, just touch them. In other words, you can get people healed just by walking up to somebody and say, and didn't say a word. Is that what he says, Miss Jackie? The scripture says, and you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall get well. But anyway, I don't know which one of those things I did for Jack that day. But then I said, now, Jack, I want you to thank the Lord for healing your body. So he said, Lord, thank you for healing me. And so then he says, I said, now then, how's the pain? He said, oh, he said, it's still there. I said, well, it ain't going to be a miracle healing, because if he miracle heals it just like that. But I said, it's going to be just a normal healing. So I said, as you go get in your car. I want you to praise the Lord and thank him for your healing. So he think, okay. So he said, Lord, thank you for my healing. Oh, Thurman, it still hurts. I said, you don't go by what you see. We don't walk by faith. I mean, by sight, we walk by faith. So I said, you don't go by what you see or feel or nothing else. You go by the word. So Jack goes out to the car thinking, I never heard anything like this. You know, I ain't too sure about this guy in there. So he goes out there and he gets in his car and sits down. And when he sits down, guess what? No back pain for the first time in years. So for 2 weeks, he drives around, works, does all kinds of stuff. And he comes back two Sundays later and he says, Pastor, the most awesome thing I ever saw. He said, I've been looking for this back pain for 2 weeks and I can't find it. It's just not there. I said, well, Jack, quit looking for it. Jesus has healed you. And that's been years ago and it ain't never come back, has it, Jack? But you quit sinning too, right? In other words, at that meeting we had that day, you found out how serious that Romans 14:23 that says, anything you do that's not of faith is sin. You found that out that day, didn't you, Jack?
I did.
And it's numbers before little things that we do, We don't even consider that as sin, right?
I was under grace.
Yeah, he was under grace. Franz, here, just for the benefit of you that are here today that need a healing. Franz has sat here in this pew and heard me preach these simple, these principles over and over and over, haven't you, Franz? Just a few weeks ago, he woke up one morning, had a great big old tumor under his tongue and his mouth and his jaw. It looked so bad and so awful. He said, we're going to have to get my everything together. Yeah, my finances all fixed, everything, because I could die any minute. Now, let me tell you, how many of you could die any minute? That's every one of us. I mean, we know we could die any minute. But you know, when something like this comes up on you, you really think maybe it could be in the next few minutes. You know, as a rule, we don't think that close. But anyway, he was going to go to the doctor. That's what we always do. We go to a doctor. Now then, let me tell you something. I've seen people that couldn't get healed after they went to a doctor until they repented for going to the doctor.
Amen.
Absolutely. God says, I'm your healer. I mean, after all, Carrie, I am the one, he says, that sent my son Jesus to raise Lazarus from the dead. He'd only been dead 4 days. So don't you think you can pray the prayer of faith for your friend? At least she's still alive.
Yeah.
You see, that did kind of touch your heart, didn't it, honey? It really did. But Franz, he's just like all the rest of you. When he looked in his mouth and saw that, he said, oh my gosh, we got to go to the doctor. And then something hit him. I guess the Holy Spirit. He says, you know, you've sat up there and you've heard Thurman teach these principles over and over and over. Why don't you at least give Jesus first place? So he said, okay, so he called me. He told me he had this thing under his tongue. So I told Cheryl, honey, I said, Franz, I want you to confess every sin. Repent of that sin. So he did. I told Cheryl, I said, me and you, we were with a couple of friends. We'd just come back from dinner and on a Saturday night. And I says, let's repent of our sins. We remit our sins. We remit the couples with us sins. Everything, we remitted all sin. Because when the Lord says, I will not hear the prayer of a sinner. If you got a sin in your life, he ain't going to hear you. You know, and there's so many things that we do that keeps us from getting healed. And I mean, one of those things that we do that keeps us from getting healed is we don't go to church.
Yeah.
We call ourselves Christians, but you're not in church. When's the last time you tithed? Did you give anything to the Lord last week or week before last? Are you a tither?
Yeah.
You know, somebody says, well, I can't tithe. I ain't got enough money to tithe. That's right. And you won't never be able to tithe. Then you're going to be sick because he's going to curse you with a curse. Now, are you glad we serve a God that forgives?
Yeah.
I guarantee I'm glad I serve a God that forgives. When I learn how easy it is to sin, wow. You know, one of the things that causes men to be sick is they call themselves a Christian and then they don't put God first. When I ask how many, just like Dave. Dave, which spoke while ago, y'all all saw Dave speak. When Dave first came here, he had been sick his entire life and 40 years, and he had this sickness all over his body. And we finally got him healed after 20 months of staying with it, fighting the battle, fighting the fight of faith for Dave. When Dave came to me, he said, Pastor, I don't understand why it took so long for me to get healed. What do you think I did wrong? I said, well, Dave, I have no idea. Only God knows that. So I said, why don't you go to God and ask him why it took 20 months for you to get healed? So he went to the Lord and began to ask the Lord, Lord, you said, like in Jeremiah 33:3, that I could call on you and you would answer me and show me great and mighty things I know not. So Lord, why did it take so long for me to get healed? Thank you, Lord. Finally, the Lord spoke to him. He said, Dave, the reason it took so long for you to get healed is because I don't know who you are. You don't know me. He said, Lord, I go to church every time the door's open. I tithe. He said, I know that about you, Dave. I go to church with you every time you go. But he said, you may spend 15 minutes a week in my word, maybe. He said, you don't know me. So since you don't know me, and I don't know you. He said, I don't heal you. I'm not going to heal you. He said, Lord, but you finally did after 20 months. He said, I know you were so persistent and stayed with it. So I finally felt sorry for you and healed you. Isn't that something? But at least he got healed. You know, Dave got healed. Now he said, well, Lord, how much time should I spend with you? He said, you know, a tithe would be a good place to start. A tithe of your time. A tithe of your time. In other words, there's 24 hours in a day. So, you know, a 10% of that, that's over 2 hours. Somebody says, my goodness, how would I ever spend 2 hours a day with the Lord? That's why you're sick. That's why you got the problem you got. That's why he don't hear your prayer, because you don't spend no time with him. I've seen this over and over and over. Now then, just like Dave said, well, Lord, what if I hadn't been spending 2 or 3 hours a day in the Word? He said, then your healing would have been much quicker. Much quicker. So guess what? After I heard that little story, I learned that when I have men or women, especially men, it doesn't seem to be so strong in a wife's problem with her Lord, but a man, God put the man in charge of the home. The man is responsible for being the spiritual head of the house. And so many men never do that. They never take that authority that's been given to them. They don't take their wife to church. They don't take the children to church. They don't pray over the children. They don't read the Word of God to the kids. In fact, the first time God ever spoke to me audibly in my life was he told me to do what Deuteronomy 6:4 says. And he says there, I am to teach my wife and my children about God. I mean, he said, it's so important that I teach them about him. He says, put a sign in front of my eyes that says, today, teach your children about me. Today. I mean, put a post, signpost on your side of your house. Today, teach my children about God. You know, put it on your gatepost. Put one in your car. Put one everywhere. To remind me to teach my children about God. If he hadn't spoke to me and told me that day, I would never have done that. But because he spoke to me and told me, I started doing it. So I have learned that when things come up, now then when we come back to Franz's situation, we saw that Jack only took about 2 weeks for him to get healed, and he's been healed ever since. But with Franz is walking obedient to God's word pretty well. I don't know where he sinned, but he probably said something about somebody. And when he did, he probably didn't even realize he did it, but he probably said something to somebody or made a cutting remark. Who knows what it is? But he sinned somehow with his mouth, because the sore is in his mouth. And the scripture says, whatever you sin with, that's where you will be attacked. So isn't that amazing? So when you get a hold of that, so Franz called me. He said, Thurman, I'm going to call on Jesus. I ain't going to call on no doctor, but I got this terrible growth in my mouth, and I need to be healed. Well, Cheryl and I, we repented of our sins. I repented for the sins of the couple that was with us. I washed us all in the blood. I did him. We prayed over everything, and then we took a scripture. And we stood on that scripture, and we prayed for Franz and commanded that sore in his mouth to go away. And I thanked the Lord for it. And then I said, Franz, I'll see you at church tomorrow Sunday. This was Saturday evening. Sunday afternoon when he walked in back there, I was sitting back there in the back. He walked up and grabbed me and hugged me and said, Pastor, you really know how to make Jesus real in a man's life. I said, what did he do for you? He said, that thing's completely gone. Completely gone. And it's still completely gone. Jesus, you reckon Jesus is really real, Franz?
I know he is.
I got a good strong I know there, don't did we?
Yes.
You know, when we realize that what makes us sick, I mean, how many men, I want you to think about this scripture. Almost nobody I know believes this scripture. But I'm going to put John 15:2 on the board in the King James Bible, and I want you to look at this. Now stop and think about this. John 15:2 is written. It's in the Word of God. It's in the New Testament. What does this mean to you? First of all, what does it mean to produce or bear fruit for the kingdom? What are you supposed to be doing? What is your job if you're a Christian? Helping others do things and producing fruit, doing things good for people, right?
Yes.
In other words, you mean I'm not here to make $1 million and then spend it on myself?
No.
Buy me a new airplane?
No, sorry.
No, that's not what I'm here for. Now, is it okay if I do have an airplane?
Yes.
If I use it for His glory?
Amen.
If I use it to go places, it's okay, you know, but if sometimes we get too heavy on different things, and just like a new car. Lots of times we want a new car and you think, well, you know, I could buy that new car, but you know, that would put me in a little bit of a strain, but that's okay. I'll just be careful and try not to buy anything else. And so I want this new car. So, you know, I need a new car. What if I were to go out and buy me a little $18,000, $19,000, $20,000 four-door sedan and pay cash for it? But I decided, you know, that's not prestigious enough, so I want a new Escalade, which costs, what one of them things cost? $70,000. Okay, so I buy me a new Escalade, which costs $60,000. Now then, I only had $20,000, so I paid $20,000 down on this one. I got a $40,000 note on that. So I got hundreds of dollars of my payments on that thing. And which one of them's going to get me there the same way? Is both of them going to get me there? Isn't that amazing? I go out and spend all that money. And then that's for sure I stopped tithing because I hadn't got the money to tithe. So I'm going to have to take that money and do something else with it. And so I quit tithing so I can make the payments on my new car. And then all of a sudden one day I come down with something sick. Or I really start feeling really bad. And then I come up on this scripture. Now then, I don't have the money to go to church anymore like I used to, because I definitely don't have any money to give to the church no more. So I'm just not going to go. So if I quit going, probably at first I still watch Christian television, maybe. But if I quit going to church and then it's not long, I quit watching Christian television, and then I'm out doing things I shouldn't be doing on Sunday, as well as the rest of the week. And when it comes to doing what that scripture says, am I producing any fruit for the kingdom of God? If I'm not producing any fruit for the kingdom, how many branches in Him? What did He say there? How many? Every branch in me that bears no fruit. What does He do to it? What does it mean to cut it off?
Yeah, it kills it.
What? You're telling me you think God would kill me?
I know He would.
You know, most people don't read that like that. But that's what that says, isn't it? Every branch. Are you a branch?
I am.
I am too. Every branch in me that bears no fruit, I cut it off. Now then, this is not just for men. It's for women also. I've seen many a woman that was sick and afflicted because she was too busy doing something else. In other words, I've seen women that won't take care of their husbands. You know, they're too busy. You know, they got the kids to take care of. The husband wants her to do something. She ain't got time to mess with him. She's going to run the show. Let me tell you, you have no idea how many women I've seen in my life that's going to run the show in their house. And they come down with all kinds of sickness and disease. You know, I mean, and they never put it together. Never put it together. That, you know, they're not doing what God told them to do. When you tell a woman, the wife was made for the man and to take care of the man. That's what God made her for. Well, some women will just rebel. And they'll say, no, I'm not, I don't believe that. I don't have to submit to my husband. But they haven't read the scripture. Does the scripture tell you have to submit to your husband? And how many things?
All.
Oh, so what do you think that means?
It means everything.
It means everything. You don't really think that if I didn't obey God there, if I was a woman, that he would make me sick? He will, won't he? How many years, I'm not saying that was your sin, but how many years were you sick in pain, Paula?
20.
20 years you were sick and in gross pain, and then whenever you finally found out you had to get rid of sin and start producing fruit for the kingdom and start doing what God says, you got well, didn't you?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. How long has it been now since you've been healed?
It was in March.
It was in March.
This year.
And you'd been sick for 20 years. Who would ever dream? Who would ever dream that this God that we serve, when he says, if you don't do what I say, if you don't produce fruit for my kingdom, I will discipline you. In fact, I will cut you off. And then he says, for those that are producing fruit, look at that, Kim. For those of you like you that's producing fruit for the kingdom, and you and Scott every day, y'all produce fruit for the kingdom.
Right.
He says, I will prune you so you'll be even more fruitful.
That's right. Pruning is good.
Isn't that something? Since y'all are workers out in the wilds and the gardens and all, you understand what it means to prune something, don't you?
Because when you prune those shrubs or bushes or trees, it actually helps that you grow and flourish.
Isn't that something? So see, God starts out with us pruning us. He really does. He loves us, and he wants to give us an opportunity to repent of our sin. So if we repent, just like God says in his word in Job 33, he says, and I speak to you again and again, and you don't listen. You know, how do you think God does that? I mean, he speaks to us, any number of ways. In fact, I will tell you a way that God spoke to Kim right here one day, and she didn't obey. She had just been learning about able to remit people's sins. So she'd been hearing that, and she'd been studying that. She'd been looking, her and her husband both, they're reading it and thinking, we never saw that before. Just like Matthew 18:19, it says, if two of you on earth agree, we've never seen that before either, but it's in there, isn't it?
It sure is.
And so anyway, the Lord spoke to her one morning. They had a power outage in their block, and she asked the Lord, when this is going to go on, what happened here? And the Lord spoke to her and told her, said, Kim, remit or forgive the sins of this block so I can turn the power back on. Somebody said, that's the craziest thing I ever heard of in my life. And that's what she thought too when she first heard it. She says, Lord, I can't forgive the sins of this whole block. Now, who told you to do that?
The Lord.
Who told you to pray for that person?
The Lord.
You see, when you do what he tells you to do, you produce lots of fruit. So Kim caught herself right quick and said, Lord, what am I talking about? Of course I can forgive the sins of this block. You told me to forgive. Lord, I forgive the sins of this block. And instantly, the power came back on. And it's still on today. When God tells you to do something, now he doesn't have to speak to you audibly to tell you something, but just like he says in Job 33, I speak to you again and again. He does speak to us through his word, does he not? In the last few minutes, we're talking about things that we need to do. Who's talking to us? It may be coming out of my mouth, but it's his words, right? So that means God is speaking to us from his word. Is that right?
Amen.
So if we are spoken to over and over and over and we don't change, and this is what people will do. They will come to a church where they hear the true principles of the kingdom, and then they'll say, I don't believe that. But yet what I said lined up exactly with what's written. Because he says, how many branches? Every branch. In other words, to be a branch, you got to be a believer, right? Every branch in me that bears no fruit, I cut it off. It's amazing that when we don't do what he says, so I spoke to you again and again, and you didn't listen. So I sent dreams and visions to terrify you. I've had lots of people come to me and say, Pastor, I have a dream that terrifies me. Every time I start to pray, my heart jumps out of my chest and runs out there and turns around and looks at me and says, "Murder, adulterer, fornicator, liar." He said, "That scares me every time that happens." I said, "Well, let me ask you a question." I said, "Are you a Christian?" He said, "Yes, I am." I said, "Are you married?" "Yes, I am." I said, "Do you ever lie to your wife or anybody?" He said, "Well, I have a few times." I said, "Well, have you ever committed adultery on your wife?" He said, "Well, a couple of times, but not many." I told him, I said, "I can tell you what's wrong. God is warning you before he kills you. He is telling you to straighten your act up, son. He knows." I said, "That's your heart. This word of God says, when your heart condemns you not, then you know you have the petition that God that you ask God of." He said, "You mean there's a scripture in the word that says that?" And I said, "Yes, there sure is." So he said, "What do I do?" I said, "You right here. You repent and tell God you're sorry. You tell him you won't never commit adultery again, ever. You make him a promise you'll never tell a lie again. You'll never do any of those bad things. You promise him you'll walk holy. You'll purify yourself from all evil." He said, "But you know we're going to sin." I said, the word says we ain't supposed to. The sin says, the scripture says we're supposed to purify ourselves from all evil. What does it mean to be pure? I mean, now let's take a 5-gallon jug up here and I'm going to run it through an RO system. So it's going to come out on the other side. I got 5 gallons of the purest water you ever seen. Now, do you mind drinking that?
No,
no problem. Okay. Now then, let me take a little bottle with an eyedropper in it. Let me squeeze a little bubble on that and let me pull that up and let me put that over in there. And I put one drop, you see one little drop out of that dropper and drop into that water. And then I put the dropper up and you can't see a thing in that water. It still looks perfectly clean and pure, right? It's now got one drop, but you look at my little bottle, I put it up, and it says pure 100% strychnine. You ain't drinking that?
No, sir.
I mean, even with Mark 11, 18, I mean, Mark 16, 18, you... Okay.
If I
didn't
know that,
I know. You ain't drinking it. Why are you not drinking it? But the thing about it is, though, one tiny drop is not going to hurt you in 5 gallons of water. But you're just like all the rest of us. It ain't pure no more. Now, if you didn't see me put that in there, you'd come in and have a drink out of that, and you'd never know the difference. Yeah, you'd pray over it. Yeah, that's for sure. But would it harm you? One drop. One drop in 5 gallons, it wouldn't hurt you at all. None, would it, Jack? I mean, Jack's a doctor, see, so I can ask you. I know one drop of strychnine in 100% in a 5-gallon jug, I could drink that whole jug over time and it couldn't hurt me at all, would it, Jack?
A long time ago, all the elite of England took strychnine every day.
Oh, okay.
That's why they had white hair. That's why today they wear the wigs in the court.
Yeah?
Yeah, because they use strychnine to poison people as a way to get rid of them. So if they took a little bit every day, it took a huge dose that they could take.
Wow.
So they took a little every day, one of the offshoots of that, was that it turns their hair white. So
everybody
in the courtroom had white hair.
I never knew that.
After a long time, they quit doing that, but they still wore the wig.
Yeah, how about that? Okay, so what I'm trying to say here is once we put this in here, this jug of water is no longer pure, is it? And see, when God tells us in his word, to every man and woman that has the hope of God, hope of Jesus Christ, living in him, he is to purify himself from all evil. So that means we don't even want one drop of sin in our life, do we?
No.
And if we don't have that sin in our life, then I can assure you, you will not get sick. Because you will be, like Dave was trying to tell you, you'll be walking under grace and not under law. And if you're walking under grace, you're purifying yourself from all evil. You're not sinning. There is no sickness under grace. But when you fall from grace, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 4, it clearly says, he's talking about even circumcision. that if you add anything to your salvation, including being circumcised, in other words, somebody said, well, I don't believe I'm saved until I go and get circumcised. Now then, now I believe I'm saved. Paul clearly said, if you add anything to your salvation, anything, you have failed from grace. Grace profits you nothing. So you're now a sinner. And you failed from grace. You're back under the law. Now then, what if you've committed all these sins? What if you're sick? What if you got all these problems? Do we have people in the church sick? Yes. Oh my goodness, do we? Oh, we've had this multitudes of us sick. I just got through saying Franz was sick, Jack was sick, I've been sick, you've been sick. I don't care who you are, you've been sick, is that right?
Yes.
If you believe the word and you're sick, so what do you do?
Quickly.
You quick, do what, Jack? Coming from a doctor, that's quickly repent. Quickly repent. Boy, if there's anything, you've learned that well, haven't you, Jack? In other words, are you trying to say that you still fall from grace every once in a while? And when you do, thank God for a God that forgives us, right, Jack? We come to him and say, Lord, I'm so sorry that I did this. I'm sorry that I committed adultery, or sorry that I haven't spent time with you. Sorry that I don't spend any time in your word, but maybe 15 minutes a week, Lord, I'm sorry. Well, he forgives us. When we ask him to forgive us, he does forgive us. And then what do? We change. We start reading the word. We start staying in the word. Every day we spend time in God's word. We start talking to people about Jesus. You know, you start producing fruit for the kingdom, right? Miss Jackie, is it wonderful to be able to share Jesus with people?
Every day,
yes. Every day. You produce fruit for the kingdom, don't you, girl? She really does. You see these two fine ladies here, just like Miss Carrie. She's a lovely lady that loves Jesus, her and her husband. They love Jesus with all their heart. They would even spend their own money to fly all the way to Florida just to pray for a person. And did it pay good dividends?
Yes, it did. Praise God.
See, that's producing fruit for the kingdom. You know, now some people would say, I couldn't possibly go to Florida and pray for somebody because then I wouldn't have money for a vacation next year. That's not what you think, is it? No, you think about producing fruit for the kingdom. And the Lord was gracious and merciful, and a person that was in hospice is out of the hospital and home now. Wow. Is God good or is he good? But see, he answers prayers when we repent of our sins, and then we make him a promise. Now, when you make him a promise, you better do what you're promising. If you're promising you'll do something just so you can get well, then after you get well, you better make sure you're a good girl. Right, Miss Paula?
Yes.
Do what he says. Walk in love. And same way with Franz. When he healed that thing in your mouth, you want to be as clean and pure before him every day as you can. Right, Franz?
I use a straw to get a drink of water.
Wow. Is God good or is he good?
Yeah.
I mean, just think now. Let's stop and think. Let's go back to Psalm 103, and let's look at Psalm 103, and let's see what he says there in Psalm 103. Psalm 103, the first five verses. Psalm 103. What does he say? Bless the Lord, and as all that's within me, bless his holy name. Then what does he say again? Wait a minute now. We got a double header here, back to back. You think he must want us to praise him. Is that? Are you getting the idea that he wants to be praised?
Yes.
Let me tell you how important that was. My lovely wife, here a while back, had a bridge that came loose on her tooth. She goes up to the dentist, and the dentist tries to get the bridge off, and he cannot get it. The end that was loose, clicking. No problem. But the other end, he couldn't get it off. I mean, he beat on it. Finally, she said, sir, I got to call my husband and have him pray for me. Now, when's the last time you were in a dentist chair and somebody's wanted to call their husband for prayer? See, we don't do that very often, do we? But she called, and I prayed, and thanked the Lord for taking that loose. And so she gets back in the chair. About 10 minutes later, she calls back and says, honey, you got to pray again. It still didn't come off. So I prayed again. Well, I didn't hear no more, so I assumed it came off. She gets home. I said, well, how's your tooth? She said, they couldn't get it off. He's going to have bring a special tool next week, and he's going to prize that thing off without breaking that bridge. I said, you mean the Lord didn't answer my prayer? She says, obviously not. And of course, my wife, you know, she said, maybe you ought to check out your life. Maybe there's a little... maybe there's a little sin somewhere. And is that possibility always there? Yes, it's always possible. So you repent of all your sins. You try to figure out what you did wrong. Because how many of God's promises are yes?
All.
Okay, if all of them yes and he didn't answer my prayer, is there a problem?
Yes.
And guess what the problem is? Oh, it's got to be with her, right? No, I'm the spiritual head. The problem's got to be right here. It ain't going to go very far. So anyway, me and Eldon went to get some furniture, and on the way back, I'm sitting there thinking, now, Lord, what did I do wrong? Why did you not answer my prayer for Cheryl's bridge? I mean, if God says all my promises are yes and amen, and I prayed and it didn't come off, then we got an issue. Because it should have come off. So anyway, we're driving along there, and I'm thinking, Lord, what did I do wrong? Lord, what did I do wrong? Lord, thank you for the answer. What did I do wrong? If I'm blessing the Lord, like that Psalms 103 says, I'm blessing his holy name. Does he like that?
Yes,
yes he does. And I'm thinking, Lord, what did I do wrong? Lord, thank you for telling me. And then all of a sudden, I heard a little word says, praise. Praise. Eldon spoke up about that time. He says, Thurman, God always answers your prayer for your wife. He said, why did he not answer it this time? I said, you know, Eldon, I was just sitting here talking to the Lord about that. And I said, I think I just got the answer. He said, what is it? I said, I heard him say praise. I just barely heard it. But I heard him say praise. So I said, obviously, I didn't praise him enough. I did thank him for taking it off, but I really didn't praise him. I said, I just didn't praise. I said, Lord, I just want to praise you for taking that bridge off of Cheryl's mouth. Lord, I thank you. I praise you. And Eldon, he put one knee up against the steering wheel and throwed both hands up in there and said, yes, Lord, me and Thurman want to praise you for taking. Now, we've got two of these crazy guys driving down the road with their hands up in the air, praising the Lord, driving with their knee. We drive along about 10 miles. By about 10 or 12 minutes, we're just praising the Lord. And all of a sudden, my cell phone rang, and I noticed it was Cheryl's ring. She said, honey, what are you doing? I said, well, me and Sheldon Elder just driving down the road. You're praising him for taking that bridge off your mouth. She said, I knew it. She said, it just fell off in my mouth with no... Now, you see what happens when you praise? So in Psalm 103, when he says, bless the Lord, in other words, praise his holy name, I mean, what do you think he wants us to do?
Praise.
Yeah, and if you're not to the point where you can drive down the road and say, Lord, I praise you, just because you got two or three people in the car with you, and you can't say, Lord, I praise you, well, you're going to be sick probably for a long time. Because he's not ashamed of you, and he don't want you to be ashamed of him. So he wants you to glorify him and tell him how much you love him. And so as you praise him and thank him and worship him, he says there, after that, he says, and forget not all the Lord's benefits. Is that what he said?
Yes. Amen.
What is some of those benefits? Who forgives how much?
All.
Okay, he forgives all of your iniquities. So if he forgives all of your iniquities, that means you got to confess them. Yes. Lord, if I've not been doing this, I confess it. If I've been doing this, I confess it. I'll stop doing this, Lord. But forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all of your iniquities and then who heals how many of your diseases? So see, if you get all of your sins taken care of, how many of your sickness will he heal?
All.
Every time. So now, is that good news? You see why we get so many people healed? We do it just exactly like he said. Is that right, Paula? After being sick for 20 years, you found the place that taught you exactly what God says, and when you done exactly what he's required you to do, he healed you, didn't he?
Absolutely.
And is it good to be healed?
Awesome.
Awesome. I'm telling you. Yeah, when that girl gave her testimony and talked about how much pain she was in for 20 years. Of course, Jack was in excruciating pain too in his back. You know, for many years, I don't know how many, but several. But since you got healed, you ain't had a pain in your back at all, have you, Jack? But boy, do y'all all notice what Jack has learned? Anytime he falls from grace, what did he say he did?
Quickly.
good lesson right there, right, Jack? Repent quickly. You know what? Most people, when they sin, they don't even repent at all. They think, well, God don't know what I'm doing. So, Andy, nobody knows what I'm doing, right?
Yeah,
he knows what you're doing, all right. He even knows the intent of your heart, doesn't he? Yes, he does. Wow. Is God awesome or is he awesome? Does he love us? Does he want to heal us?
Yes.
Will he heal us?
Yes.
But we got to do it his way, right? We got to repent of sin. We got to change our way. And we got to start worshiping him and praising him and thanking him. And when we do that, then he forgives and bless his holy name. Just like, I wonder if I had never listened. And I mean, when he says he speaks to me again and again, I wonder if I had not got quiet with him in that truck driving down the road and I'm listening intently. If I hadn't ever heard him say praise, you know, that we might have never got that bridge off of Cheryl's mouth. Because that doctor, I mean, he worked on it. He hammered, he beat on that. She told me, said, honey, he said he was afraid he was going to break that bridge, and he didn't want to break it because they're pretty expensive. I think it was like a 5-tooth bridge or something. And she didn't want to break it because a new one's very expensive. A little glue don't cost much, you know. But anyway. What, honey?
He forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases.
Absolutely. That's what he said. Wow. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to pray for people. Father, I thank you for this beautiful day. Lord, I thank you for this beautiful word, the holy word of God, where you tell us how you work. You tell us how you do things. You tell us everything we need to know to get saved, to get healed, and get delivered and made whole. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for this beautiful day. I thank you for this beautiful week. And I thank you, Lord, that you said we come to you, and if we repent of all sin, you will heal all of our diseases. Every one of them. What a God you are. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for healing us. Thank you, Lord. We're so grateful that we do serve such an awesome God. Lord, as I've called out so many people today, I thank you that you have these people here that when I need them to tell about your miracles like Jack, and Jack doesn't mind me telling how you healed him, and Franz, Lord, how you healed him. And we're all so grateful. All of us. And Paula, she's so grateful you healed her, Lord. But all of us. Kim over here when she got her back healed years ago and been totally well ever since, Lord. But Lord, there's people all over this room that have been healed. I mean, I could go on for all afternoon praising you and thanking you for all these wonderful people that are here today that had terrible problems in their life, and you forgave them after they repented of their sins, and you healed them and made them whole. Lord, we just thank you and praise you and worship you. You are the mighty God, the King of Kings. And Lord, help us as we pray for people to realize it's not us, it's you. You're the one that heals them, not us. We just touch them or tell them what they need to do, and then they repent, and we pray for them, or we lay hands on them, or whatever you told us to do at the time, and then you will do what you promised, and you'll heal them every time if they'll only believe. Lord, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being the awesome, wonderful, mighty God that you are. Thank you, Lord. I praise you and worship you and thank you. for speaking to me so many times in my life and sharing these things with me so I can share them with your people so we can get these people healed. And everybody that's here today that's been healed, they're grateful, Lord. They're grateful. They praise you and they worship you and thank you that you are the great and mighty and awesome God. Lord, help us to never forget who you are and how much you love us. But you are a God that will discipline us if we don't pay attention. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you for being the wonderful God you are. We praise you. As we go this week, Lord, inspire every one of us. Speak to us at different times. Show us what you want us to do as we will be out there producing fruit for the kingdom of God. Put us in the right places with the right people to tell them the principles of the kingdom, and then let us, just like Carrie, as Carrie went and laid hands on Wanda, as she went and laid hands on that and they prayed for her, you showed up and healed her. And Lord, we just give you thanks and praise because we know that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And thank you for building Carrie's faith, Lord, to the point that her and her husband would take a trip all the way to Florida just to pray for somebody, a friend, a relative, or whoever it is. Lord, thank you. And then thank you for doing what you've promised. When they remitted sins and prayed the prayer of faith, and Cheryl now remitted sins and prayed the prayer of faith, you forgave that person, raised that person up, and brought them home. We are so grateful that you are the King. Father, we just praise you. We thank you. As we go this week, inspire us, speak to us, show us what to do. We want to be about your business. We want to produce fruit for the kingdom of God. We want to see great signs and miracles and wonders. But we thank you because you're the one that said you would do these things if we'll just do what you tell us. So, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, Lord, as we come up on this week, we ask you to watch over every person at the convention, everywhere, every man, every woman, it'll show up. We ask you, we take authority over the spirits of hell. We command those foul spirits of hell to not create any kind of problem, to not kill a single good person nowhere. Lord, we want people to see the glory of God. We want people to get saved, healed, and delivered. We don't want to see good people get killed. Good police officers are good people, regardless of what color they are, red, yellow, black, or white. Lord, we rebuke the enemy and command the enemy to get his hands off of all these people. And may they have one of the greatest Republican conventions they've ever had. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We have been given dominion and power and authority. And you told us that. You give us power and authority over all the power of the enemy. And he shall in no wise hurt us. So, Lord, thank you for using men and women to do great things for your kingdom. And may nobody, absolutely nobody, be injured. Nobody. In other words, these people that are trying to get men to come and shoot people, white people that I'm hearing they're talking about, Lord, may there be nobody that will even entertain that thought. No. I don't care who I am, what I will not go and kill people. I will not do that. I will keep myself from evil. So, Lord, thank you for blessing people, and thank you for sending the right kind of people. Thank you for sending good police officers, all men, and just taking care of everybody, watching over everybody, and nobody, absolutely nobody, get hurt in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, thank you for watching over every person in Jesus' name. No more killing, no more death. We're fed up with it. Lord, just the normal death rate. And we die at the rate of 2,000 people, or about 8,000 people an hour on this earth the way it is. So, Lord, that's enough. We don't need people out there killing them anyway. So, Lord, thank you for sending people to protect us and watch over us. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen.